Would you please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12. We'll actually begin in verse 23 in our observation of this chapter under the topic, the glory of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege it is to open this book. I pray that as we consider the things that you have said, that they will have the desired, your desired effect upon our lives. May we see the glory of Christ today as never before. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When our children were young, we traditionally would go on the 4th of July over to the West York parking lot to observe the York City fireworks display. We had a favorite spot, so we'd usually get there early so we could get our spot, and then lots of other people would come and be all around us. The odd thing was, as we were sitting there enjoying the fireworks, there would be people walking around not even looking at the fireworks, and I could never understand that. Even more amazing is when we lived up in New York, we lived 30 minutes from Niagara Falls. We were there almost every weekend, it seemed, at least the first year. It was so amazing. But there were people that lived right around us, same location, that had never been to Niagara Falls. How can people be so unimpressed with spectacular things? Not everyone was impressed enough with Jesus to take him seriously. Let's consider. Jesus told the people, and we'll see in the context, that it wasn't just his disciples standing around, but there was a larger group of people, and they're just referred to as the people. And he explains to them how he is going to die and rise again, verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." And by saying glorified, he is referring to both his death and resurrection together. Thus, he says in verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." I think both a reference to what he was going to do in bringing forth the fruit of salvation, but also what can happen in a believer's life. Once we believe in the Lord Jesus, we can bring forth fruit as well, and he refers to that in John chapter 15. Verse 25, he continues, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So rejecting your life in this world is like dying to self so that you can serve Christ. Now God the Father affirms Jesus. In verse 27, Jesus says, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say?" And he speaks to the Father. He says, "Father, save me from this hour," referring to the time that is coming very, very soon now in this context when he will be put on the cross. "But for this cause," he says, "came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." So we're introduced to the people in verse 29. "The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered." Didn't recognize the voice, or didn't want to acknowledge that there was actually a voice from heaven. Others said, "Oh no, it wasn't God, it was just an angel that spoke to him." But Jesus answered and said in verse 30, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes." Jesus didn't need the affirmation from the Father. He knew that full well. And he says in verse 31, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out," referring to the devil. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth," referring to the cross, "will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. Oh, but the people, in verse 34, the people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever." I get it that these people haven't actually read it. They've just heard about it. And there's a lot of people that don't have firsthand knowledge of the Word of God. All they know is what they've heard. And if what they've heard is not accurate, well, that can be a problem. "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." He says this: don't miss your opportunity to believe in Jesus. "These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." Now we come to another section of the text, more commentary, we might say. Verse 37, "For though he had done so many miracles before them." How many miracles? He made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, and the lame to walk. He cured infirmities of many kinds. He cured leprosy and dropsy, fever and palsy, paralysis and issues of blood. He restored withered limbs. He restored an ear that was cut off. He cast out demons. He raised the dead. He changed water to wine, gave fish into empty nets, fed 5,000 men plus women and children with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And on another occasion, 4,000 men plus women and children with just a little bit of food. He stilled the waters on the sea. He calmed the storm, and he walked on water. Then John says later on in his book in chapter 21 and verse 25, "And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." Although he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Now he says in verse 42, "Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God." They were more impressed by the influence of the Pharisees than they were with the person of Christ. Oh, they were impressed with the person of Christ. I would say it's more like this. They sort of believed in Jesus. You go to the store, and for any particular item, there are numerous brands to choose from. So let me ask you, do you choose a brand for quality or do you choose a brand for price? You know, you can choose the same kind of thing for a much lesser price. But lots of times you get what you pay for, right? The cheapest is not always that good. Sometimes you'd be better off choosing quality. Well, these Pharisees and lots of other people in this crowd didn't want something that cost them. Jesus says you have to lose your life. They didn't want to do that. Those who were afraid of the Pharisees didn't want to be kicked out of the synagogue. They didn't want to have the Pharisees criticizing them in public and shaming them. Oh, yeah, Jesus is one of many choices. I mean, you can believe in Muhammad. You can believe in Buddha. You can believe in the millions of gods that the Hindus have. You can believe in yourself. People today claim that they are gods. You can believe in the government. There's lots of things you can believe in. But which one of those things will give you what you really need? Only Jesus has the quality to give you what you need. Jesus said, "Whosoever will save his life shall lose it," in Luke chapter 9, verse 24. "But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." And in this context, he said, "He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life." Unfortunately, too many people don't want to pay that price. They love their life in this world. It's cheap. It's fun. There's a lot of pleasure in this world. The only problem is, it doesn't last. Only Jesus can give you eternal life. Back up to verse 38 in the text. And John says this, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias," or Isaiah the prophet, "might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Now, where is that in the book of Isaiah? It's in chapter 53, verse 1. Let's just hold your place here in John chapter 12. We'll go back and forth between John and the book of Isaiah. Go to Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. What did Isaiah say? "Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Now, Isaiah said that. And John quotes it. Now hang on to that, because he's going to refer now to another chapter in the book of Isaiah. And these two contexts that John chooses to refer to are significant. And we'll talk about what's in the context in a moment. But these first of the things that John says here in John chapter 12, verse 38, "Who hath believed our report?" That's Isaiah 53. Then in John chapter 12, verse 39, he says, "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." And where is this in the book of Isaiah? Well, go to chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." So John quotes Isaiah once from Isaiah chapter 53 and once from Isaiah chapter 6. And then he makes this profound statement in John chapter 12 and verse 41. "These things said Isaiah," or Isaiah, "when he saw his glory and spoke of him." Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus in Isaiah chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 53. Now, what's in those two chapters? Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke." Who is John saying that is? John is saying that is Jesus. That Jesus, the eternal Son of God, is the one that Isaiah saw sitting on the throne. That's his glory. What about Isaiah chapter 53? Isaiah chapter 53, we see a suffering Messiah. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 2, and we should never tire of hearing these marvelous words. "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray, and have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation?" That's his suffering, and then he refers to his death. "For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet the Lord, it pleased the Lord to bruise him, hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. But then comes the resurrection. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death and was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Oh, that's his glory also. Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God sitting upon the throne in heaven. And Isaiah saw the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, who alone bore all our sins and hung on a cross and suffered all our suffering and died our dying, but rose from the dead triumphant over sin and death and hell. And by John's declaration, Isaiah has shown us that Jesus is clearly the great God-man. His deity on the throne, his humanity on the cross. If Jesus is the Lord of hosts, as Isaiah saw him, and the King of glory, the eternal Son of God, the Almighty God, the Divine Judge, the Holy Master, the Majestic King of heaven and earth, if Jesus is almighty and everlasting and glorious and good and great and holy, if he is infinite and just and majestic and most high, if he is perfect and powerful in authority and pure and reverend, righteous and wise and worthy, if Jesus is God and he is all of that, what should our response be? Would you go over to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6. Jesus must not be just a name to us, not just a character in a book. Not just an idea. Jesus is a real person. And someday, we will be face to face with him. And so it says here in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6, referring to the Lord Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Do you hear that? Just at hearing the name of Jesus, we should be on our knees in submission and adoration of the one who bears the name. If all it takes to hear his name to bring us to our knees, what will it be like when we are actually face to face? Are you ready for that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. How glorious he is. Oh, to see him on his throne and to remember him on his cross. May it never be the same anymore for us when we hear the name Jesus. If nothing else, may our hearts and heads bow in adoration and prepare us for that moment when we will see him face to face. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.